Hi.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything is fine. Hey, everybody. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Relax. Everything is just fine.
We're live from the 215. I am your host, Kyle Pagan. As always, joined by my man, Mark Henry. Maybe for the last time ever. If you've been living under a rock, our gambling boy is turning into a gambling man right now. He is going on tomorrow. One of the biggest sports betting podcasts and one of the biggest media giants in the country. He's going on Pick Central at Barstool Sports at noon, is it?
Yeah.
Don't listen. Okay, yep. I will be listening tomorrow. I hope you're listening tomorrow. I want to give you a little behind the scenes of what Mark's going to be doing, a little day-to-day, whatnot. Before we get into that, Tap Room. Use code FINE50, P-H-I-N-E, 50 for any delivery of $100 or more. You get $50 off with code FINE50 if you live in the zip codes of Philadelphia. All right, Mark. This is a dream come true. This is like the Dirty 30, Angela welcoming in them to like 94.1 WIP. This is like Mikey Miss bringing Dwayne from Swedesboro into the 97.5 studio to come on and whatnot. This is your moment. This is everything you've been working for the last 2 years. Give the people a little bit about the backstory, the origin kind of tomorrow.
Let me kick it off first. We're not quite at the precipice of, what really I've been working for. We're not quite there. And we're not, you started off the pod. It's a nice way to sell the top of the pod with saying it might be the last one. I don't see that.
I could die tomorrow. You could die tomorrow. New York is crazy. Hey.
Kyle Shanahan said it best. Who knows if either of us will be here on Monday, but who knows if any of us will be here on Monday. It could be a meteor.
There's a meteor the size of the Eiffel Tower supposedly coming into the orbit, so we could all die.
I heard about that. That's why I said it. I'm up on my meteor news. But I'll say that, yeah, for sure. This is a dream come true, even if, obviously everyone knows I've made no bones about it on Twitter or anywhere that my dream is to work for Barstool Sports. Like, I don't really have the dream to work at ESPN, have the dream to work anywhere. I think the only place that would really allow me to be what I want to be in media is at Barstool with the gambling opportunities that would present. And obviously, we're a long way from that happening. We're a long, long way from that happening as of right now. Right now, I am just a guest on Pick Central coming in to Barstool in NYC tomorrow. It's a show that I've been calling into since January 27th, 2020.
You know the exact date.
I just looked it up yesterday to try to find my first call, and they couldn't hear me. It didn't work the first time. It was the first time I ever called into a radio show. It didn't work out. It was on speaker. They couldn't hear me. I called in the next day, and then that started me giving out some winners. I had three 7-in-a-row winning streaks in 2020. After the last one, they said that if I got to 8, that they would be bringing me in for this guest spot. And Ohio State did not cover 9.5 against Alabama in the national championship last year. I also had an invite right around Super Bowl time after someone named Jason from College Station challenged me in a pickoff because I was red hot. I mopped the floor with him. I whooped his ass, and the winner was supposed to get a guest spot on a podcast on Pick Central to come up to New York. But what happened was they went to the Super Bowl. So I got they kind of forgot about it. It got swept under the rug. And then again, when my Sixers viral tweet happened with my girlfriend, that started me being on this podcast. I think that's how you heard of me. That's how you saw me. So again, Brandon Walker DM'd me the address, DM'd me telling me, on my way to game 5, actually DM me and said, Thursday morning, told me the address, be at Barstool. And I was like, oh my God, it finally happened. I'm going, I have the date. It's happening. Sixers Get Up 26, Sports Nation, slides in my DMs, asks me to do a hit with them. I agree. And then they give up the 26-point lead. The Sixers lose. Brandon Walker did not return my DM after that. And then that was also at the time that that was right after Pick Central. It used to be on Sirius XM Radio. That's how they took callers through Sirius. It was at a time when they stopped doing that. They had just went on YouTube. They didn't know how to get callers in. So I really had no way to bring it to the, without, besides tweeting about it, I had no way to be like, hey guys, the Super Bowl happened and I couldn't come. And then I think they even mentioned it on another show. Rico Bosco has been more supportive of me than anyone at Barstool, him and Brandon Walker. And Rico would bring me up. And I think again, they said right after that, oh, well, we're going to bring him in next week. And then Brandon Walker decided to hashtag grow the game of college baseball. And they went to Omaha, Nebraska for the College World Series the last time that I thought that I was going to be going into Barstool. So this is the fourth time I've gotten the invitation. We're about 16 hours away now, so I don't think it's going to get canceled. I got a hotel booked in New York City.
Okay, so how are the feelings? How are the nerves? How's the inner workings of Mark? What are you doing right now to kind of prepare?
High. The nerves are high. I'm looking up as much research as I can. I'm trying to get as many trends as possible. I'm trying to find some funny tidbits, trying to think about my hot takes in the past, kind of be like, oh, what are some takes to throw out there? You know, they know that I'm a diehard Philly Notre Dame fan and that I'm a psycho. And I really, really honestly, my whole opportunity here is getting my foot in the door. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at. And my foot in the door, I always said, if I could just get my foot in the door, I think my personality, I'll put that in quotes, whether you want to say good or bad, will drive me the rest of the way. Maybe Pick Central isn't like the best way for me to get that across with a ton of people. I hope that it is. I think if I was there for like a gambling stream during a game, I think that would probably be like how I could really get across, my knowledge and stuff that I pick up during games. But
going 7-0 could help you out. You go 7-0 tomorrow.
I don't know.
It's going to be hashtag higher mark in Philly.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of feedback tomorrow when people find out that I'm 5'6", not exactly the most handsome guy. I don't think you HD cameras.
You don't carry yourself 5'6". I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that. I always said you look 5'8", 5'9" when we met.
I don't think HD cameras will be very kind to me at Barstool. But, you know, you take the good with the bad and you take the opportunity. I'm not really worried about appealing to the people out there in the chat boys. I am kind of trying to appeal to the guys on the show and to people at Barstool, and hopefully I make an impression. That's really the only thing I can do. I'm trying to find winners. I feel pretty good about the college football slate. I don't feel great about the NFL slate this week. I feel pretty good about some picks I'm seeing for tomorrow. Marky Pucks is red hot.
Marky Pucks. Will he make an appearance, Marky Pucks? Is he coming with you?
We'll see. Marky Pucks sees that there's a game involving the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow night, and they are a pretty good over team. I haven't seen the line for that yet, but yeah,
So that red light goes on. It's action time. What's Mark's plan? Is it like prison? You get the biggest guy in the cafeteria. You attack him right away. You go right after Brandon Walker. You go right after someone else.
No.
Do you treat this more like a cat and mouse game, seeing where you can put in a little head body, maybe work the body a little bit? What's kind of the game plan a little bit?
I would think that they'll probably explain who I am at the top of the show, which I'll try to give a little bit of my origin story pretty fast. I'll try to explain who I am and, you know, how I do a million podcasts and produce and try to get across that I'm a hard worker who kind of thinks about this kind of stuff. But I want to be involved in the show. I certainly have some picks, but people are tuning into Pick Central to see the stars talk. I'm not a star quite yet. I'm a guest on the show. I'm going to be basically speaking when spoken to after, you know, what I imagine is the beginning of the show. I feel like the beginning, they'll probably go to me, and maybe each game that they talk about, I can chime in, but I'm going to try to not overstay my welcome, not try to, you know, do too much. I just want to get out the knowledge that I do have and the picks that I do have for mainly tomorrow night and Saturday. And obviously I'm sure they'll talk some NFL as well.
So what are we doing? What are we wearing? How are we getting down there?
We are taking the train down tomorrow. very early. Just
are we going
to
Amtrak?
Sure.
Are we going to Hamilton?
Oh, doing Amtrak, I believe.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're doing that. We're doing it up Amtrak style. I don't know why I just said it like that, but
hey, that's cool.
We're leaving very early. When I say we're, I'm leaving by myself, but I'm going.
You and Marky Pucks.
Yeah, yeah. I have to get two seats. But yeah, he's coming with me. I'll be, you know, trying to get up there as early as possible, just in case anything out of my control happens. Like I don't want anything, you know, messing this up and me being late and me missing my opportunity here. So I'll be getting up there early. I think I'll be bringing in a little present for the guys. And I'll smart. You know, I'm going to try to do it up here. Also, I've made a whole weekend out of it. My girlfriend's coming up. We're going to do New York City on Saturday and Friday night. I got a hotel. So that's where we're at right now.
All right. And what are you wearing? Got to come correct.
I'm wearing this jacket for sure.
Woo, that is a beauty.
New jacket. Shout out. No free ads, but Rally House. That place, holy crap. I walked in there for the first time. They have a whole Notre Dame section, a whole section for every team in Philly, all the, you know, Temple, St. Joe's, Drexel, Villanova, LaSalle, all the Philly schools.
It's been quite a week for you in terms of Brian Kelly leaving. You're on a little bit of a cold streak, and now Friday comes around, and you're at the highest of highs.
Marcus Freeman's hired as well, so it's just a lot of stuff going on this week, for sure. It's been mayhem. I'll be wearing my Barstool hat. I'll be wearing this jacket. Not sure what the shirt is. Probably a Pulp Fiction homage, if I had to guess. That's where I'm at right now. If you can't tell, my brain is in a million places, very scattered, and I am very nervous. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no need to be nervous. You've worked your entire life for this. The Finer Things Club, which I just named that off the top of my head. That's the fan base that listens to this podcast, the Finer Things Club. They're all behind you. We'll all be watching. Thousands of others will be watching. People will be in the chat. We'll be supporting you. We'll be clipping you. We'll be making fun of you, but also loving you. We'll be riding your picks. Hashtag hire Mark and Philly, not fire Mark and Philly. I'll jump in the fucking chat if I have to. All right. We'll all be there for you. Now, I think the question on everybody's mind is, you know, you impress Pick Central. You impress Brandon Walker. You impress the other guys. Smitty might even be there. Tell him I said hi. They offer you right there on the spot. What happens to this podcast, Mark?
I'm not sure.
What happens to this podcast?
We don't have to work.
Guy who's giving you a platform, albeit a small platform. The guy who's laughed with you, who's cried with you, who's been there for every pick. Some good ones, some bad ones, many good ones, some bad ones, excuse me. Has always rode with you, has never criticized any pick you've ever made. What happens to this podcast?
Who knows, man? But like I said at the top of the pod, we're not at that stage yet. We're not at that stage yet. I'll tell you who's in more danger than you right now. My full time job. That's what I'd say if I'm being quite honest about the situation. I can't see the fact that I don't think Dave Portnoy, even if I got hired to do stats or social media or intern, whatever they would want to give me. Again, which I think there's like a 2% chance of happening. I don't think I'm getting hired on the spot tomorrow. None of the people on Pick Central have hiring ability. So I don't think I'm getting hired tomorrow. But let's just say I would be willing to quit my real job on air if they would hire me. So
I would love to see like your boss just like getting that clip. Be like, you not even call them or give your 2 weeks being like my firing. And you just send them like, you probably have their phone number. You just like text them the clip. Like, this is everything you need is right here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good job. That's a good idea too. A year ago, they made a joke about me, coming in and quitting my job on the air. Cause I said I was going to quit my job and then I didn't for the last year. But maybe I'll bring that up again and be like, hey, I'm always willing to quit my job on the air if you want to pay me basically pennies to come work here.
Oh man. Well, I think you're going to be great. I'm pulling for you. How many picks do you think you're going to throw out?
That's a good question. Probably 5 or 6 I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at the Utah Oregon game. I'm looking at the Purdue game for basketball. I'm looking at, I had one other bit. I had that Marky Pucks game involving the Columbus Blue Jackets. But one of the ones that I'm really looking at is definitely it's involving the 76ers, because this is full circle. In you know, June, like I said, with the viral tweet that got me on this podcast, I would say that the Sixers blew that chance and blew my relevance and blew my chance at coming in against the Hawks. The Sixers blew it against the Hawks. Friday night, the Sixers play the Atlanta Hawks.
Wow.
If my Pick Central experience goes well, the Sixers are going to win and come through for me. So I don't know what that spread will be at. I'll check right now live on air to see if the spread's been posted yet. NBA spreads do get posted a little earlier than college. Let's see. -3 for the Atlanta Hawks. So I'll probably be on the Sixers at on +3 taking the points. That's a preview for you.
Who are you most nervous to potentially run into?
This is going to sound weird.
Nah.
Marty Mush. I don't think he's
all
a big
right,
fan.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a big fan of me.
You're nervous to run into him.
Well, I'm not going to run into him. I'm going to be on a show with him for an hour. So if he doesn't like me, he could turn that tide on me pretty quickly, I think. But, you know, I'm a nice guy. My whole goal is I'm showing up there an hour early with a nice little present for the guys. And I'm just going to be a nice guy and try to get everyone to be nice to me and not turn the chat boys on me.
The chat boys will turn. If it's anything like I've read a YouTube comment section before, the chat boys don't even know who they like, who they hate. It's a flavor of the day.
For sure.
Well, I think you got it. I think this podcast is on life support.
I disagree.
Kind of like the MLB right now. I think me and you might be in a lockout after tomorrow. The lockout starts at midnight today. So we are officially locked out. We'll see if we can come to the negotiating table on Monday.
So here's my take. I started getting there. Like I said, brain scattershot everywhere. Yeah. I started the thought. Let's say they hire me for any of those positions that I started naming. I don't think Big Bad Dave Portnoy is, you know, he's at the Big Ten championship this weekend. I don't think he's coming down and being like Mark in Philly, who just got hired for a social media job, certainly can't do the Everything's Fine podcast anymore. I think the only outcome to me getting hired by Barstool is positive for you. And we're not going to get too far into that. But I think that this is only good for you, even if I'm not an everyday guest on the pod. Maybe it would be once a week, or maybe it'd be infrequent. Who knows what happened? You know, this is, again, all hypothetical. Like, sure. I could be exactly where I'm at. Honestly, the most likely scenario here, if we're being real about what's going on, the most likely scenario is I'm average tomorrow. I'm fine. I don't take the show to the next level or anything. I give some picks. Maybe they win. Maybe they lose. I hate this mark. Let's be realistic.
No.
If I'm on the show, I'm going to pick up followers. I'm going to pick up a good amount of followers. That would help the podcast. So worst case, I pick up some followers on the show. Maybe that helps us get some sponsors or something of that nature. And it helps the show. That's the worst case. We're doing this conversation live on air, which is kind of funny.
I'm going to have to stir up some Discord incels tonight. I'm going to have to find some Discord incels or some of your enemies Twitter. Because I need a fiery Mark Henry. Mark Henry is the best Mark Henry.
I'm properly motivated right now.
All right. Good. All right. So we have to talk about the Jets game. It's the Jets. It's kind of where my take is. Jalen Hurts, sore ankle. Jordan Howard, I think, is back. Corey Davis, I haven't checked if he's playing or whatnot. I think of this game kind of as Jalen Hurts got a sore ankle. I mean, are we throwing the ball a lot? Like, if Jordan Howard isn't playing, are we throwing the ball, or are we getting like 60 runs? What do you think?
It's hard to know. It's hard to know when we're going to go full run, full pass. We seem to never go in the middle. So who knows what we do? I'd be lying if I said I wasn't concerned that the entire backfield and Jalen Hurts is hurt. I mean, whether or not Boston Scott is sick, so who knows what's going on with that. Miles Sanders banged up. Jordan Howard banged up. Jalen Hurts banged up. The interior O-line, Jack Driscoll, obviously Brooks and Seumalo banged up. Kelsey playing hurt. They're very hurt in terms of running the ball and in terms of on the O-line. And the lifeblood of this team is the O-line. And the lifeblood of this team is running the football, whether that be with Jalen or whether that be with a committee at running back. And if there's injuries that kind of stop that from happening, then that's a concern. But this might be something we deal with going forward if we build around Jalen Hurts and we build around having a rushing identity. You look at teams like Baltimore. You look at teams like San Francisco. They cycle through running backs a lot. And it's not just because any running back can come into systems and play well, which they seemingly can, it seems like. But when you run the ball that much, you're obviously opening up your running backs to picking up injuries and getting banged up. And that's kind of the whole point of why you don't draft running backs early and why you have running backs by committee. And it's a good thing that the Eagles have so many options with the amount of injuries that we have. We didn't even mention Gainwell. But I'm concerned about our own issues that we showed last week and our own injury issues. But there's nothing concerning about the New York Jets. I'll be wearing this going into enemy lines tomorrow. I know that the Jets are in East Rutherford and not New York City, because New York football teams are frauds. But I'll be barking up a storm wearing this Eagles shit up there, bringing my Philly attitude up there. And I think the Eagles should win this game 27-14, 27-17. I don't know what you're thinking score wise.
I felt better until you started naming off all those injuries and how banged up we were. You're right. And the one thing about this team was they were healthy for most of the year. I mean, last year we were never healthy. So that 4-12, 4-11-1 season was bad, but I think it was because we were so banged up. It was bad. They probably finish still like 9-8 or 9-7, 8-8. Like there wasn't any really redeeming qualities about that team when you look back on it. Now I feel like the Jets are going to cover at least. I think it's up to 7. I think that kind of crashed after Jalen Hurts said he was playing. I haven't looked at the line yet because I'm not using it for our gambling picks after this. They should win. If they lose, the panic button is pressed and the Jalen Hurts haters are going to be out in full force. So for the love of God, please, please just win.
Just win, baby. I don't know why I just referenced Al Davis there. Just watch that documentary, 30 for 30, by the way, recently. It's good. Pretty good one. So is the Nets one. I've been randomly watching 30 for 30s.
What'd you think of the superimposed Al Davis? Was it Al? Yeah, it was Al both. And Paul Tagliabue, right?
Yeah. Or Pete Rozelle?
No, Pete Rozelle.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was cool, but, you know, chill the fuck out a little bit.
I'm a big hologram guy.
Big Tupac, was that like a
Tupac?
Big
that was awesome. That was really cool. Yeah,
I was in like high school. I feel like when that happened, maybe. Yeah, that was like, or is this the future? Are we just doing this now?
Well, I remember people were like, "Yeah, we're not going to concerts anymore."
Yeah.
Where we're gonna have like different concert. Where like you're gonna go to like the Hollywood Bowl and MJ's gonna be playing.
That's kind of sick.
Yeah, it would be really sick. Cool.
I'd be in,
but we're not there yet. I guess they just did a hologram of someone else. I think Prince. I don't know. I don't really feel too good about this game now that you just rattled off how banged up we are. Do you have anything else in the game? Like, I really don't have much.
It's hard. It's hard on this game.
It's hard to get up for this game.
No, hopefully the Eagles can, just because it's coming off of a loss and it's coming off of an ugly game. I would just say that we played our worst game of the year against the Giants last week, who are a bad team, and we lost by 6 with a chance to catch the touchdown and win the game at the end. The Jets are the much worse team that plays in MetLife Stadium, and I can't imagine the Eagles play that bad again. So if the Eagles play 10% better, they should win this game by like 2 touchdowns. The Jets are really bad. Zach Wilson's playing. That's probably like the best possible news for us, even though I don't think Josh Johnson or Joe Flacco or Mike White, the White Lotus, I don't think any of those guys are anything special, but they've all shown more flashes of being NFL ready quarterbacks than Zach Wilson has, Norman Manziel this season. So honestly, Zach Wilson like tearing apart our defense is worst case for me, because I just don't want that guy to succeed.
Yeah, Mekhi Becton's out too. That guy can't stay healthy. That offensive line stinks. The defense stinks. I mean, the only thing I'm worried about is Robert Saleh can get these guys to play. I feel like Robert Saleh is a very good motivator, very good defensive coordinator, now head coach. I think I'd be worried if they would have beaten the Giants last week. I would have said this could have been a letdown game. The Jets are sneaky. They beat the Titans, and they beat the Texans last week. But they beat the Titans in London, So that was a little bit of a weird game. But yeah, the Jets are sneaky. I feel like Robert Saleh can get these guys going and whatnot. But I don't see letdown game here after what happened against Giants. You can't have two letdown games in a row.
Tell Robert Saleh to go shovel some snow. You get the reference there?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. Fucking asshole.
Brian, how do you feel about Marcus Freeman?
I've talked myself into it, of course. I'm all in. They're going to take it to the next level that Brian Kelly never could. Well, I mean, obviously. No, I don't know. I've complained about Tommy Rees play calling before, and I wasn't as in love with Tommy Rees, the quarterback, as a lot of other people were, but he was a tough guy that everyone kind of got behind because he was never supposed to be the guy, and he made himself into it a little bit. So I get why people love him, but I also get more now when you, I don't know if you watched that speech he gave.
It was not that inspiring.
I disagree. I don't know. I feel like it got me going. I loved it.
I'm not going out there and winning one for the Gipper off Tommy Rees' speech. I'll tell you that.
I thought it was great. I also like that Tommy Rees looks like he's like coming out of an econ class still at like age 23. And Marcus Freeman looks like he could be taking like a graduate course. Like both those guys look like they're 25. It is cool. Like, I don't know if Marcus Freeman could coach. You know, we don't know that. It does seem like he is a hell of a recruiter. There's obviously the rumor on the message boards that Brian Kelly, as soon as he left the room, Marcus Freeman basically said, fuck him. We don't need him. And that made the whole team go to the AD and basically demand Marcus Freeman, which, you know, you hear that and it's hard not to be like, fuck yeah. Like we can, who needs him? We can get behind him, but you know, who knows if he can coach? I don't know if he can coach, but regardless if he can coach, recruiting is the most important thing in college football. Getting the guys is the most important thing in college football. Marcus Freeman was comparing Notre Dame to like Roc Nation and Jay-Z, in the one podcast he did, like on how he explains, like Notre Dame and the tradition to these kids. And he tries to put it in terms of like rap, like Jay-Z compared to like new school rappers and like how much more prestigious it is. Like, it's just like, it's Brian Kelly's not being like, you see, you know, Utah is more like Lil Tecca and we're more like, DMX. Like, and Brian Kelly's not breaking out rap references. Not that, you know, we need that, but it's just cool that we have like a younger image going forward, I guess, with Marcus Freeman taking over, Tommy Rees sticking around, and it's still like, because Tommy Rees is a Notre Dame guy and legend, Notre Dame, like they get to, we keep that kind of tradition from the last. And we have, you know, it's hard to know how important Brian Kelly is going to be until we see these next couple of years.
Tommy Rees, ultimate fumbling the bag if this doesn't work out. There are rumors up. Well, I think Brian Kelly wanted to make Marcus Freeman the highest paid defensive coordinator in college football. And then Tommy Rees, he wanted to give $400,000 more than he was making at Notre Dame. So the ultimate fumbling the bag by these two if they don't. But hey, more power to him. This had to tell you that Luke Fickell wasn't interested, right? Like they definitely did their due diligence on that.
So here's the spin zone on that. The spin zone would be that signing day is quicker this year. Signing day is early February. It never has been this early before. It's hard to wait however long you'd have to wait for Fickell. If Fickell wasn't giving them 100% yes, or that he would leave Cincinnati at any point after this game this Saturday, and we'd have to wait to see if they win the first game and then go to the second game, and you have to wait and see. With the players all demanding Marcus Freeman, maybe – Marcus Freeman was the choice. And, you know, they paid Marcus Freeman a lot to come last year. And that's the spin zone. I'm being honest there. I wanted Fickell more. So maybe I'm hoping they wanted Fickell more too. I'm hoping that Fickell turned them down and this wasn't their choice, I guess. But I think there's a good chance that Fickell said the way he is. I feel like he'd be like, I don't know. You want to wait? You can wait for like a month, but like, I don't know. I don't know what I want to do yet. I still got to think about it. I'm focusing on Cincinnati. He's just like a very, I think, like straightforward, focused guy. Maybe Swarbrick is just like, yeah, I can't take the chance.
Yeah. He's waiting for Ryan Day to go to Oklahoma.
The NFL, I'd say it's more likely, but the rumor is that Marcus Freeman's basically like making the same money to be the head coach as he would have to be the defensive coordinator
at LSU,
yeah. If not making a little less money, it's close. What I'm saying is he took the decision to stay at Notre Dame. And I get it. He's the head coach. So it's different than being the DC. But if you're the DC at LSU under Brian Kelly, you're getting a job the year after. Is it going to be Notre Dame? Maybe not. But you know, good for Marcus Freeman. I'm happy that I guess he wanted to stay. I'm happy that Tommy Reese wanted to stay. I hope when Ohio State becomes available now that Luke Fickell takes it and that Marcus Freeman doesn't, because he is also an Ohio State guy. So that is the one concern, that Notre Dame's not the dream job for him. So who knows?
Yeah, the thing about Fickell is too, like, you know, if they wanted to wait and he would have given them a yes, they would have waited. Or if they really wanted him, they would have waited, because yeah, you have to, you know, signing days early this year. You have to get right on your recruiting trail. But for 5, 6, maybe even 10 years, the way they're giving out contracts right now, I mean, these are the most 10-year deals I've ever seen in my life. Now the way they're giving out contracts, like, I'd burn a year with Luke Fickell, maybe not having the strongest recruiting class, to then have, you know, 9 years behind that or 6 years behind that. So I understand where you're coming from, but they had to have inside information that he didn't want to come.
I'm not quite as sure, just because the concern is that we have the number three recruiting class, which is, I believe, like the highest we've had in years. Like, this is our best recruiting class in years, especially at the skill positions and at quarterback. And people are really excited about this recruiting class. And a lot of people that know more than me about the situation are crediting Marcus Freeman. And I will say, the Notre Dame fan base, I can't believe how positive the reaction is. No one's like, oh, I wish we got Fickell. Like, I haven't seen any. No one's like, oh, I wish we got Matt Campbell. Like, I haven't really seen any of that. I'm sure that there is an older demographic that I won't get into that is probably not too happy about Marcus Freeman coaching Notre Dame. But besides those, you know, crumb bumps, I think that the people have done a good job of reacting to this. Maybe that's performative. Maybe that's like, we got left and we don't want to appear like we're upset with a hire. I don't know. But people that are more knowledgeable than me make it seem like Marcus Freeman was basically our recruiting coordinator for the last year. The Notre Dame players were on Twitter Spaces, and they full-throatedly endorsed Marcus Freeman. Yeah, it's a weird way. I always say like one weird sexual innuendo thing for podcasts that I don't mean to. I already have one joke ready from the Pick'em for Barstool. Rico and Big Cat's whole thing is, Big Cat likes to say, you know, Rico, I'm in your hole. I'm getting in your hole. Like, I'm going to say, if I meet Big Cat coming in for the Yak after Pick Central, I'm just going to say, like, Big Cat, you need to make room, because I'm in Rico's hole with you.
I like it.
That's my one goal.
I like how you're already planning your jokes. I like this.
I was just listening to Pick'em. Oh, I'm going to have like a joke.
Do you have a notes app of like jokes? Like, oh,
not yet. But I might after this podcast, now that I said it. What were we talking about before that? Marcus Freeman. Yeah.
Marcus Freeman.
Yeah. I'm happy. Tommy Reese speech, top five speech of all time.
It's been a long week. It's been a long week in college football and just your life. I feel like we've been all over the place. So it's been, I'm ready for this week to kind of be over. I'm like tired just sitting here. Breaking news, NFL suspends Antonio Brown, banned 3 games for misrepresenting vaccination status. Also breaking news, Khalif Battle, Temple's leading scorer, out for the season. Broke his 5th metatarsal.
The metatarsals always get Philadelphia, man.
Fucking metatarsal, man. It's always the metatarsal.
They always get us. It's not fair.
It's not fair. We got to fix, you know how the ACL used to be like a major, major injury?
Yeah.
We got to get Dr. James Andrews on the 5th metatarsal.
We got past it as a society. Now it's the Achilles. Yeah. Get him on the metatarsal. Mm-hmm. Get him on the Achilles. Get him working lower on the leg.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need.
All right. Let's get into picks. I went 2-1. You went 1-2 last week. I am coming up on your ass, kind of.
You're 8 or 9 back. I can't remember.
I was 20. Nine. I was 16 and 20. You were 26 and 20. No, that wouldn't make any sense.
26 and 10. So I'd be 27 and 12, and you'd be 18 and 21. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm 9 games back still.
Yeah. I'm mucking it up a little bit this week.
No. You're the savant. You're the rain man. You're not allowed to muck it up.
Well, it's one mucking out of the three.
Well, muck you. Go ahead.
I won't start mucky, though. I'll stay away from the muckiness. to start it out. This is not a game I'm very confident in. I don't really know how to preface this, but I'd be a fraud if I didn't pick it. That's where I'm at. And I shout out to Marty Mush, who might hate me, but I ain't no fraud. New England Patriots +3 on Monday Night Football at the Buffalo Bills. I can't sit here every week and talk about how concerned I am with the Bills and how I don't think that they're a legitimate title contender and how I think the Patriots are going to win the AFC East and sit here going into a game where the Patriots are the underdogs against the Bills, in my opinion, when they're the better team, even though it's in Buffalo. And I think that Vegas is telling you that in Buffalo for a huge game that they're going to get up for, that crazy fan base jumping through tables going into Monday Night Football for the division lead. That's going to be a rowdy environment. They still only made Buffalo a 3-point favorite. I think they think these teams are equal. And, you can look at easy weaknesses to pick apart with Buffalo's defense and then with Buffalo's running game and with Buffalo's secondary receivers. The Patriots might not have Josh Allen. They might not have Stephon Diggs. They might not have, I guess Tre'Davious White is no longer a factor for the Bills here because he's hurt. They might not have the superstars that the Bills have, but they are just solid everywhere. I don't see a spot where the Patriots are vulnerable. So Patriots +3 is what we'll go with. I'm sure I'll be on Patriots money line as well. But even if they don't win this game, unless it's something that like a blowout unforeseen that I don't see happening, I think the Patriots are winning this division regardless of this game. So if I think that, I have to plunk down my money on the Patriots here.
I like the Patriots. I kind of like the Patriots outright, honestly. It's just, I don't know. I'm just playing awesome football right now. Bill Belichick stiff-arming guys in the locker room. He's just having fun. So it's great. Mac Jones is playing well. I love my baby Bengals this week. The baby Bengals -3. They're cooking right now with gas. The offensive line is playing out of their mind right now. Joe Mixon is running all over teams, and now they get the Chargers. The Chargers are like in a free fall. They're like 2-2 in their last two, but it's been the Eagles and I forget who they beat, but they lost to the Broncos. It looked bad. Justin Herbert was asked if he throws the ball too hard, or Keenan Allen was asked if Justin Herbert throws the ball too hard. It's great. A free fall right now. It's wild. I love the baby Bengals -3. Keenan Allen handled it awesome. He's like, I don't give a fuck if he throws it through my hands. Just give me the ball.
You're not going to be happy with me. Bengals -3. I'm right there. That's with fine. You.
You can
I'm
ride take, with the baby Bengals.
I'm taking the baby Bengals, and I have something to tell you. I think you will be happy with this. Looking around. I already have Patriots +1600. I get it. They're my AFC pick. I still think the Chiefs are the favorites. Those are the two most likely teams to win the AFC. Bengals +1600, starting to look a little juicy. That was a statement win last week against the Steelers. I know the Steelers aren't great, but two blowout wins for the Bengals in a row coming off of a rough stretch shows that they can bounce back. Resilience, Joe Burrow, the baby Bengals, I'm all in. If they win this game, I'm putting a bet on them to win the AFC.
I love that. Yeah, they came off two real bad games, one against Cleveland, and then they got blown out by...
They got blown out by Cleveland. They lost to the Jets is what it was.
Lost to the Jets, yeah. Oh, that...
That was the other Jets win.
The first half under that we had where that ball came out of his hands and they caught the touchdown.
It was just Bengals first half -3.5 or 4.5.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Oh,
it was gross. Gross malpractice of the refs. Hey, did you hear that they used two different balls last year in the MLB?
Yeah, Manfred should go to jail.
Seriously, what the fuck is that? That is bullshit.
Braves wouldn't have made the playoffs if they used one.
You got people's
ball.
Money riding on the line with games, and you're going to use two different balls?
Well, we don't have people's... Well, you mean gambling money or the players'
money?
Yeah,
gambling money. It's the same thing.
We don't have player money riding anymore. We're in a lockout, and the Phillies refuse to do anything. So
why is the MLB being like a petulant child and like taking everybody's like profile picture off of MLB.com? They took down Bryce Harper's MVP sign at Citizens Bank Park.
They did?
Yeah.
What a bunch of bitches, man. I hate the MLB.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
Like they just like broke up with their like best friend or like their girlfriend and they're like returning all their shit or something like that. It's like, what? MLB can't get out of its own way.
No, it absolutely can't. And, you know, people complain about the NCAA, and it's perfectly valid. I hate the NCAA as much as anyone. The MLB is like just as bad as the NCAA. It's just dealing with less important issues, like not student athletes. But the MLB is the worst.
Wankel Wednesdays are hereby locked out, though.
Locked out?
We are locked out with Bob Wankel until we resolve the lockout.
Bob.
So, the lawyers are involved right now, and we'll...
Is Bob currently beefing up on his labor law knowledges?
Yeah, Bob is getting rehab under a specialist that he has to pay for because we are locked down and he can't work with our physical trainers anymore.
All right. You know, I hate that it's got to be that way. I hope we don't have to put an inflatable rat on this stream, like right in front of our faces.
That is true. Bob might be bringing over an inflatable rat to my apartment as we speak. I haven't talked to him in a while. He's gone kind of silent.
You think Bob's a pro-union guy?
Yeah,
Bob's a union
South
guy.
Jersey guy? They blue love, collar. He's probably got, yeah.
Blue collar. Bob Wankel. Absolutely. Yeah. Baseball bro.
Yeah, the baseball bro. All right. I hate this, but I like it. Lions plus 7. You want to give Kirk Cousins a touchdown? Like, you give Kirk Cousins a touchdown, okay? You can live and die. If you want to bet on Kirk Cousins beating teams by a touchdown, you go right ahead. Lions plus 7 could be outright. Could be their first win. And we need it too as Eagles fans.
By the way, I just said on Chalk Talk with Shane Half, the Lions would get this win. We're on the same wavelength. That's not where I'm going with this pick. But I feel like and Shane, my other co-host, said it best. He said that the Lions are either winning on a field goal in the worst like crazy game ever,
or this game's gonna suck.
Or losing by 40. There's no Justin Jefferson is either putting up 300 yards and 4 touchdowns, or the Lions are winning 20-17. That's where we're at. But I'm kind of coming up with this live on the air. I have 2 locked in right now to a teaser. I have a little teaser.
So you are mucking it up.
It's my pick. It's a teaser. By the way, I think it's harder to hit than a pick. So whatever.
Technically it is.
So we're doing a teaser. I have 2 locked in. I have Eagles plus 3. And I have Chiefs plus 1/2 locked in to this teaser. I cannot decide if I want to do over 33. No, you know what? I'm deciding right now. I'm not doing the over in the Ravens Steelers. Cut that off.
Okay. We'll cut it from the stream.
Restart. Teaser. Eagles plus 3 at 1:00. Chiefs plus 1/2 on Sunday Night Football. Over 33. Pats Bills Monday Night Football.
You're doing a 3-team teaser.
3-team. Oh, okay. 3-team 10-point, I think, plus 110 teaser.
Thought you're going to do 8 points.
No, 10-point is if you do 3 teams. Yeah, you can get involved with some bigger ones. Yeah,
that's fine. Someone's gonna fuck you on that, so I'm perfectly okay with that.
The reason I'm doing it is because I never do teasers. We did a podcast live on Sunday, so I got a teaser ready to go. It was just 3 overs. They all hit easily. They all hit easily. So why not throw some shit at the wall and see what sticks here? That'll be something I give on Pick Central tomorrow for sure.
This will be my Bobbitt bet. Rams minus 13. This game sends Urban Meyer back to college.
Well, fuck that. A little too late, Herb.
Yeah, this one sends Urban Meyer back to college. Rams need an ass kicking badly. This game could get ugly. It could get ugly fast. I had the Jaguars Falcons under. I handicapped the shit out of that just by looking at the offenses. The offenses stink. This offense stinks. It is so bad.
Oh, it's a train wreck. It's a train
Rams,
wreck.
Rams minus 13. I honestly think like Urban might be going back to college. Urban might call his agent after.
Wait a second.
Uh-oh.
Eagles plus 3.5 on that teaser. I'm seeing that the line is 6.5 on Barstool, which I assume that I'll have to be using for the next 24 hours.
Yes, when you leave this podcast.
Barstool only. I'll probably have to be tweeting out my picks. So those will be what those lines are coming from for tomorrow. But Eagles plus 3.5. I believe that the Patriots, Eagles plus 3.5. Patriots plus, Eagles plus 3.5. Chiefs money or Chiefs plus 1/2. Over 33 Pats Bills.
Okay. I think we got it. I think we locked it down.
There we go.
All right. Is there anything you want to say to the Finer Things Club before you leave for your last podcast ever?
It's not. I don't think it's my. Well, first of all, I know it's not my last podcast ever. I'm not Brian Kelly. I'm not giving you a group text and having you called in for a 7 a.m.
I feel like I'm getting we still don't have each other's phone numbers. So I feel like I'm getting a DM on Sunday being like, hey man, this was fun, but you can go on without me.
Well, it's not like I would lie to you and tell you that it was fun. So I think
there you go. Look at you. No, look at you. The boy's ready for New York.
No matter the big city. The
big city.
But I think no matter what, if even if that were to happen again, don't think Dave Portnoy is coming and swinging his bagwell around and ending this podcast. I don't think that he's going to do that. I think we're safe. But even if I had to quit this podcast, I guarantee that I would do a farewell podcast and a farewell address and a farewell whatever you needed. And I'll be a guest on in the future if that were to happen again. I'll be here on Monday, and I think that I'll be here every day that I've been going forward.
So Barstool Mark, Marky Barstools, Mark in Barstool, Barstool Henry.
Yeah, maybe it's not. Is Mark in Philly not good enough?
No, I think Mark in Philly is fine, but I think they all have like Barstool in their handle, don't they?
Yeah.
I guess Marty Mush?
No, he doesn't.
Does Brandon Walker?
No, he's got B Walker SEC, which is the worst. Return of RB, Rico Bosco doesn't. I think people like to have a Barstool in there. Maybe I'd be Barstool Mark, Barstool Marky Pucks. I don't know. No, I don't think it
would. I think Mark in Philly would be fine. I think that sounds like it's funny because it sounds like a guy who would be like in, you know, just off of like 20th and Jackson, but then they see you and it's like, nah, just, you know, just this 25-year-old kid.
I think maybe my at could be Barstool Mark if we get there, if that's a thing still available. I think Mark in Philly will probably be what I like my name.
Well, Marks will be rooting for you tomorrow.
Well, it's because someone has Mark in Philly. Someone has that at. Let's see. Let's pull them up right now live on air. I think it's like Mark Rhodes. Yeah, Mark Rhodes. He's a lawyer in Philadelphia who advocates for those victimized by the powerful and not afraid to speak truth to power now more than ever. In Haddonfield, New Jersey, 17 followers joined in 2016. I wish he didn't.
Wow. I fought a guy for Water Boys for 2 years.
Ugh. I've never tried.
Water Boys. Yeah. He wanted me to pay him $500 for the ad. I was like, fuck you. I'll just grow this one. I'll just shame you publicly until you give me the ad.
Is his just straight up Mark in Philly? I think it is, right? Yeah, it's just Mark in Philly. I don't want to do underscores. Like, oh, it sucks.
Can't have underscores. Not professional.
I already have one, so it's fucked. But, yeah, again, all this conversation, 20 minutes of it, mostly irrelevant. I think I'll be going in tomorrow and living my normal life after that. I'm already freaking out.
I'm fighting the incels tomorrow in the chats. I'll tell you that.
Fighting against them?
Oh, yeah. I'm in your corner.
By the way, yeah, no, we're not. We won't get into it. I'm going to have definitely like family and friends, I'm sure, watching because I've seen people liking stuff and the stuff that they're going to read about me is like, it's not going to be kind.
I had friends that I didn't even know knew who you are reach out to me saying like, are you going with them? And I said, no. So
maybe we'll be day.
12 o'clock, maybe one of their highest shows ever.
Highest? What do you mean by highest?
Well, I don't know how high you're going to be or how high, you know, any of the guys are, but like highest in terms of views. I think there's going to be a Mark in Philly bump.
Nah, they've had.
I think there's going to be a Mark in Philly bump.
Let's see. I hope so.
I think there's a Mark in Philly bump. Over under 5,000 followers you have by Monday.
Over. I'll say over. I'll say like if you would have said six, that would have probably paused, I think. I think I should double. That's where I'm at.
All right.
Do you want to talk about a little Sixers at the end? I got some fire for you if you want it.
Go ahead on the Sixers.
I hate Tobias Harris.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stand him. It's just the fact that that guy got the ball with 6 seconds last night and had Al Horford on him, and he couldn't get around him. He couldn't shake him. Just
put him in the torture chamber.
He really did. He put him in the Horford chamber. It was ugly out there. And not only do you just take a bad shot, just shoot the ball if you can't get around him. But no, with 0.8 seconds left on the clock, you throw the ball in the corner to Georges Niang like a Howard. If Ben Simmons would have done that, can you imagine what would have happened in Philadelphia? The whole city would have been went on fire if Ben Simmons would have passed up a shot to win a game like that. That was such coward stuff from Tobias Harris. I get it. He's a nice guy. It must go really far because he doesn't get any criticism and people just want to focus on Ben and Joel. I get it. Joel had a bad game last night. By the way, we're talking about the Celtics game from Wednesday night, if anyone doesn't know, or whenever you're listening to this. That's what we're talking about. And that was one of the ugliest games of all time. It set basketball back 10 years. It was finished in the 80s.
That was a 2012 NBA playoffs Sixers-Celtics game right there. If you go back and look at some of those fucking games, they were gross.
You don't have to go back and look at them. You can go watch Uncut Gems because that movie's based around that great movie. The Sixers-Celtics, it was so ugly. Joel Embiid played terrible. But what Joel Embiid did is he stepped up at the end of the game. He made a couple shots. He made a couple free throws. And he was an absolute monster defensively all game. He changed what Boston had to do offensively the entire game. And Tobias Harris doesn't get that benefit of the doubt for me because he's not Joel Embiid. He's not a superstar. And he doesn't bring what Joel brought on defense last night or any night. And I thought Tobias was incredibly lazy on defense last night. Let's not get into the fact that Tyrese Maxey played his worst game of the year. Joel Embiid played his worst game of the year. Tobias Harris played his worst game of the year. We still lost by one to Boston. So I'm not freaking out. I'm not jumping off any ships or, ships. I don't jumping off any ships, jumping off any bridges or anything. I'm not doing anything like that, but I don't know how much longer I can pretend that Tobias Harris isn't going to hold this team back from reaching whatever level they're supposed
to. He's untradeable too.
Untradeable. No one wants him.
Nope.
And then we have Howard Eskin. I don't think that you were as pumped up as about this as I was, but Howard Eskin going on WIP and trashing Joel Embiid and saying, "Oh, he didn't think he was going to make it. He didn't think he was going to make it." Shut up. Give me a break. You got the best doctors in Philadelphia. Some real boomer energy from Howard. And I'm happy Joe DiCamera, who I previously didn't really have an opinion on, I'm happy that Joe DiCamera shut down Howard Eskin just because COVID is too serious. So good for Joe DiCamera. Fuck Howard Eskin. Fuck the King.
Howard Eskin is bracing himself to be liberal Tony Bruno in, I think, a couple years. I think it's starting to get to that area where he's got baseless reports about Ben Simmons being broke. He's got, obviously, reports about Joel Embiid being unvaccinated, I guess he said CNN asked the Sixers. I don't remember seeing that, if he was vaccinated or not. So, yeah, I don't know where you win. You know, times have changed since the King was the King. I'll tell you that. I don't know where you win on questioning someone's vaccination status or questioning someone if they really went through a bout with COVID or not. Just a wild move, you know, wild move in 2021. And I'm pretty okay with people, you know, pushing the limit, but that one was just a weird hill to die on. I want to get back into Sixers real quick. Yeah. I'm over, to go with your Tobias point, I'm over Doc Rivers's end of game play calls. Like, where Brett Brown was amazing at end of game situations or inbound situations, Doc Rivers is the complete opposite. I'm also out on Danny Green. I don't think his legs ever get back from under him. He had that missed three in transition that was wide open, then hits that big three at the end. Yeah. Great. That's amazing. Awesome. But like, I'm kind of going to need those other 3 points when you're counted on. Seth Curry, Daryl Morey just continues to impress me with that trade. That was the biggest fleecing in maybe NBA history, maybe over Sam Bowie, Michael Jordan.
So that wasn't a trade. So that was just like a bad decision.
Okay, fine. KG to the Celtics. I guess that was from Marc Gasol?
No. That was the PAL trade, I thought. I thought they got traded for each other.
Oh yeah, they did get traded for each other.
Yeah. The KG trade was terrible.
The Brooklyn trade.
Yeah.
Sending KG and Paul Pierce for Gerald Wallace.
I'll tell you what, trading pick that became Tatum for Fultz isn't great either when you gave up picks also. Sure. So I think Seth Curry, that trade is unbelievable. And it goes under the radar how important Seth Curry has been for this team.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Where would Seth Curry be if his brother wasn't Steph Curry?
Not in the league. He wouldn't have gotten the chances he got in the G League, which is
incorrect. Really?
Which is incorrect. Wow. Yeah.
Now because now it's like he would be even – But he would be looked upon even more considerately if his brother wasn't the greatest basketball player in the NBA right now?
I don't think he's the best basketball player. I think he's third. I think he's probably third.
I think he's in the running for the MVP right now.
He's probably MVP, but I think Giannis and KD are fighting over best in the world right now, personally.
I mean, you watch one Suns Warriors game. He has a tough game, and now he's not the best in the world.
I didn't watch that game, actually. But I will just say that with the Tobias thing, and going back to the point about Seth Curry, and I think that these two points go together. A lot of people love to talk about how good Tobias was last year. A lot of people love to talk about how improved Tobias was last year and why that was a huge part of why the Sixers got better. Seth Curry instead of Josh Richardson, that plug-in, and Danny Green instead of Al Horford are way bigger deals than just Tobias Harris averaging like a point more per 36 and shooting like a three less per game, but shooting at 6% higher and shooting a higher percentage at the rim. Like, he was basically the same player. He scored slightly more. He got like 0.2 more assists. He got like 0.3 more rebounds if you per 36 it and you even it out to make all things even. He was basically the same player, just slightly more efficient, and the team was better. So people acted like it was a huge leap and a huge jump for Tobias Harris, and I don't think he was great defensively. I think he just had people like Ben, Matisse, and Joel around him, so it got to hide a lot of things that Tobias Harris didn't want to do on defense. So I think that the much bigger deal of why the team was better last year and why the team's not a train wreck this year is the Seth Curry move, the Danny Green move, the Tyrese Maxey pick. I think those are the moves really keeping this team afloat, and all those moves were by Daryl.
So you're not signing the Tobias Harris apology form anytime soon?
Absolutely not. He needs to apologize to me and us as a fan base.
Yeah. The Tobias Harris experiment, I'm over with, but it's an experiment you can't really control, and it's an experiment you can't. It's left the lab basically right now. The experiment is out there in the culture right now, and the best thing that has happened to Tobias Harris is the fact that Ben Simmons has just held out, has had as bad of a series last year as you can have, because Tobias had an equally bad series, and obviously when you take your $30 million man, but then you look at the guy who's making $133 million and is the number one overall pick formerly, people are going to take their vitriol and throw it at him more. It'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting to see where this team ends up. I probably have them in a fourth or fifth seed, I would say, would probably be a ballpark. But then again, I could also see this team going on a run. Everyone knows the NBA doesn't start till Christmas. We'll see what they have after that. They also had, you know, it's been a tough slate, a tough away slate. They're on a four-game away slate again. We'll see what they're like at home.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're probably right in that four seed range, 3-6, somewhere in that, not top two, but not in the play-in game. I think that's where they'll end up. But yeah, it's the one thing that is concerning to me is that Maxey and Embiid both look so much better when each other are off the court. That's something that Maxey obviously broke out while Joel was out with COVID, and since Joel's been back, Maxey hasn't been quite as good, and he's also looked pretty rough defensively the last couple of games, Maxey. So I'm a bigger Maxey guy than anyone. I'm not trying to throw cold water on anybody, but it's a little concerning that maybe they're not an ideal fit together, and that maybe Maxey is kind of regressing defensively a little bit.
Wouldn't it be the first clutch client who thinks they're not an ideal fit with Joel Embiid?
Maxey's a clutch client.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot. I forgot that was the threat. That was the threat, in the summer. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. So, too many storylines.
Anything else?
No, man.
All right. Go get them. That's the podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. Talk to us on Twitter. Subscribe to the YouTube. We could sell this for an NFT one day. This is Mark Henry's Mark and Philly's last podcast ever. Bye.